to give the sum of this, right? And that she had to take care of this, so she dropped her sum of this.
That will mean that they will not be able to start the temple potential for a very long time.
They have very good reasons as to why not to get involved. And as I was reflecting on this, I was reminded of the story we read last Sunday of Naaman and that Samaritan, who indeed could have just kept a mouth shut and let Naaman continue suffering. Sometimes it is very easy to just do nothing, not to want to get involved. It's not my problem after all. Who knows what will happen if I get involved? Someone even once suggested that, you know, maybe the priest and the Levite were afraid that, you know, that was a trick that someone was playing, you know. Quite so often that in a car looking down along, perhaps not sure that someone is not going to have. And someone having a kind of fun. So often you have this little image, someone wanting to ask him for help, but behind him there is something. And all those things that make it really difficult for us to be able to respond to these messages. But Jesus tells us about this gentleman in his disciple, a Samaritan, whom we have christened as good. There is something interesting going on there. Because at that particular time, the Samaritans were being seen as exiles, as people who were not true to the faith. They were the outcasts. When out there and mixed themselves up with people of other nations, they did not make themselves pure. So they were outcasts. And they are seen as the God does not do for anything as a God. And also we do know that the story of Jesus encountering the Samaritan, Jesus encountering that woman as well, the disciples come and they are shocked, surprised. First of all, Jesus is talking to a woman, but secondly, the Samaritan woman is not thinking that we have in common. We do not speak with them. And because of there is that phrase of use, the good Samaritan. Because it sounds like an oxymoron. How can it be that a Samaritan would do anything to you? You have to make sure you mention that first before the Samaritan. But this gentleman shows mercy, shows kindness. This gentleman offers himself. The parable, of course, does not tell us anything more. The parable at the end of the talk. But just make me wonder, we have no idea where this gentleman was going. Probably to somewhere far more important. And probably in worship. Depending on how many parables are important to God. Probably he had an appointment that was really, really important to him. But they had to keep. People start to criticize and attend to this person who was suffering. The one who was seen as an outsider, the one who was seen as something good would come out of him, is the one who showed great mercy. And of course, when Jesus comes back to Peter, and the lawyer himself, the professional, asked him, you know, who's the name of you? It's just really interesting that the gentleman could not even bring himself to say it was the Samaritan. Rather than saying it was the Samaritan, say it is the one who chose to be mercy. This is showing the essence of the issue that was a really, really different concept. And then there is a gentleman who was out. Of course, the parable does not tell us much about that gentleman. We do not know whether he was a Jew or if he was a Samaritan himself. But I just wonder if he himself had the same senior view. Saying that he was a Samaritan attending to him. I wonder how he reacted. We're seeing it out from someone who they thought was unworthy of anything. What does this story tell us then? What does this all mean for us then? First of all, is that loving our neighbor means acting differently, even when it is difficult. But sometimes it is difficult to act differently. Which is hard. Which is not just a nice sentiment. It is an active choice. It means getting involved in the lives of others, especially those who are passionate. It means we need to know differences and see people as God sees them. Looking even, getting people in the lives of others, especially those who are passionate. But there is an element as well. We ourselves will be open to receive the generosity of others, the kindness of others, the support from others. The story also does tell us something that I think is quite profound. And in just reflection in the castle of Jesus Christ, he who was not of this world came to save us, we who were dying, sinning, in the ditch, covered. I think that's really important in terms of how we open our hearts to receive the good news of what we can save in Jesus Christ. Very different. But he came to save us. He came to save us. Our neighbor is the one who moves our hearts to pity. Quite a lot when you look around in our community and in our world. But the gentleman was surprised who asked the question. Because for him, what he had come for was a huge discourse and debate trying to put Jesus. Really, the corner. Jesus responded with kindness, great humility, and this great example. Really encouraging to us. I pray that these days, as we lead our lives today, that first of all we will open our hearts to the Spirit of God continuing to work in us. We see that free gift that Jesus Christ himself has offered unto us. But we will also be alive to the needs of those who are around us. That we will show mercy, kindness, generosity to all those who are around us. That our faith will be a practical faith, not just about the knowledge of our faith, which is really, really important. But a faith whereby that which we know, we also put it into action. In as much as it might be inconvenient, in as much as it might be uncomfortable, in as much as it might be really, really difficult, if you as Christ will do